I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And our text today, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Hear now the word of the Lord. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, our prayer is that you would teach us now through your word, not by the words of a preacher, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. Make these words alive and real. Apply them to our heart and our lives, Lord, that we might be changed, that we might be conformed to your likeness, that we might indeed hear your voice and respond. And Lord, this is our prayer today, that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. When I was in business, I was fond of telling people that you spend way too much of your time on what's urgent and not nearly enough time on what's important. That was a motto, if you will, of Dwight Eisenhower. It served him well in his career as a successful general. As president, Ike's principle was that the urgent is seldom important and the important is seldom urgent. That saying was popularized later by Stephen Covey in his best-selling book on business, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Now, in your own life, you've probably noticed that there are many things that demand your attention, many things to which you give your attention, many things which seem urgent and pressing, but if you stop and consider these things, many of them aren't all that important. And that is complicated in our world by this constant 24-hour electronic bombardment that we're subjected to, that brings all sorts of things into our life, into our homes. And we're subjected to this. And these things come in really with no distinction between what's important and what's just urgent, what is there seeking and demanding our attention. You can see the imprisonment of a Christian pastor for preaching the gospel right alongside a report on the fashion worn by some Hollywood star to some self-congratulatory award ceremony, alongside some YouTube video of some incredible act of stupidity and self-endangerment, and a volcanic eruption. And they all come across your screen or into your life with the equal amount of emphasis. And these things just pour into our lives. I remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I told my wife one day, and I just saw a little snatch of this somewhere, that there was trouble in Ukraine. And I saw a picture of sandbags piled up in the square, 8-10 feet high. And I've been to Ukraine on several mission trips, and I was interested, but I couldn't find hardly any details about it. And I went home and told my wife, I said, this is incredible. And I remember when it happened, because the news was full of Justin Bieber's arrest for drunk driving. And I'm thinking to myself, I really would like to know what's going on in the Ukraine. I saw sandbags and a fire in the city square in Kiev, and all I can hear on the news is some 19-year-old being arrested for drunk driving. I don't really consider that news. But that's what we're faced with every day. We're bombarded with this, and most of it that demands our urgent attention is really not important at all. The urgent has a very narrow mindset for its focus. But the important usually requires time and reflection and study and prayer and contemplation. And, you know, I read some of Stephen Covey's books, and, you know, he used that idea in his books. But long before I'd ever heard of him, I used that principle in business. And long before I was born, Dwight Eisenhower was using those principles as a general and later as president. But before all of that, Jesus Christ himself set down this principle for us. And the occasion on which he set that forth is recorded for us here by Luke in our text today. Luke tells us that as Jesus and the disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, they stopped off in a village at the home of a lady named Martha. Now, Martha and Mary were the sisters of Lazarus, who also lived there, because unless Martha owned a house in another village, this village is Bethany, and this is the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus that you're all familiar with, I think. And Jesus and the disciples come, and Martha opens up her house to them, invites them to come in and stay with her and her family. And when we read down there in verse 40 that Martha was distracted by all these preparations, I just want you to think about that for a moment. There's at least 13 extra guests for supper. Maybe more, but we know there's at least Jesus and the disciples. That's 13 more places to sit at the table. 13 more folks to prepare supper for. If she was a good hostess, which apparently she was, she had to draw water for them to wash their feet with and perhaps a little oil to anoint their head. That was customary when folks came to visit. And they're probably going to spend the night. She's got to fix some pallets or something to put on the floor, perhaps up on the roof. You know, they had flat roofs on most of those houses with a little wall around them. And a lot of times folks slept up there. It's a little more comfortable sometimes. So she's got to prepare all that. And she has no electric stove, no mixer, no food processor, no blender, no microwave. Doesn't have even a faucet to turn on in the kitchen to get the water. She was busy. While she's doing all this, her sister Mary is sitting in the living room, sitting in the floor, at the feet of Jesus, enjoying listening to Jesus teach the disciples and the others that may have been present. You know, Martha is the epitome of what I was trying to illustrate to you in the introduction. She is very busy. She doesn't have any of the modern conveniences we have. It would still sort of put you out if 13 folks showed up for supper tonight, somewhat unexpectedly. You know, they didn't have a cell phone to call ahead and let her know. They just wandered into town, and here they are. But she's also not distracted by cell phones and television shows and tweets and Twitters and posting on Facebook that, hey, Jesus is at my house tonight. So she's not distracted by all that, but she's still very busy. She's consumed with being a good hostess, fixing a good meal, fixing a place for him to stay that night with her. And there's nothing wrong with all that. Many of us are busy every day, providing for our families, cleaning house, taking care of the duties that fill our days. And there's nothing really wrong with any of that. It's not against God's law to do that. But these things can so fill our day and so worry us and upset us and consume us that we sometimes forget about the important and the urgency of getting all these things done. And you know, if Jesus came to your house, you'd want to get out the best china. You'd want to fix him the best dish that you knew how to fix. You'd want to see that his needs were met. And there's nothing wrong with that. The same way we want to provide and take care of our families and protect our loved ones and see that their needs are met, spend time with them. There's nothing wrong with any of that. We have to be careful that those things don't crowd out the things that are important. And those things are important in and of their proper place. But I think what we see here is there are things more important than these things that press in upon us each and every day. These things were bothering Martha. She's trying to get all this done. She's very busy. And she's growing agitated, as any of you would be. Why isn't her sister in here helping? She's in there cooling it in the living room. And she's left me here to do all this work. And you know, that's getting under her skin. And it finally bubbles over. It finally just boils over. And she goes in there where they're sitting, where Jesus is teaching. And the word in Greek here that the NIV and some of your translations render with that sort of innocuous word, she came to him and asked. The Greek word there is really a word for an explosive kind of speech. She burst in there. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do all this work by myself? I mean, her emotions have overflowed. She's had enough. And all of you have been there. You know, Martha comes busting in here, and the old Martha comes bubbling up. Or we could say the old Tom, or the old Sam, or the old Mary, or the old Sue, or feel free to insert your own name there, comes bubbling up. I think she sort of forgets for a moment to whom she's speaking. She's speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she's had it. She is at her wit's end. And haven't you felt like that sometimes? When a person or a number of persons have just pushed you to what you think is the limit that you're going to take. And sometimes you feel, perhaps like Martha, Lord, don't you care? Fill in the blank there yourself. Don't you care that I'm having to do all this myself? That's a very common thing, and sometimes it's directed toward those we love. Sometimes it's directed to our brothers and sisters in Christ. But most often it's not about the important things, it's about those little urgent things that we feel like have to be done. Notice Jesus' rebuke of Martha. And it is, you see some compassion there. Martha, Martha. But he does not fail to correct her. He says, you're worried and upset about many things. You know, Martha's upset. The many things that have to be done. And we can identify with Martha. In fact, we can more than identify with Martha. Martha doesn't even know about the many things that have to be done. Her world is confined to a small village with her house and some guests. But just think about your world. Think about this, what I mentioned earlier, this 24-hour-a-day electronic bombardment. All kind of cares and worries come flooding into your life unbidden. You don't really ask for them. But we see images of war. We see images of starvation. We see a train derailment and poison leaking into the water supply. We see child abuse. We see all kind of dire economic predictions. We see hyped up predictions about terrible weather events. We see this every day. If you don't have anything to worry about, the world will give you some things to worry about because they just pour this stuff into your life minute by minute, day by day. It's no wonder people are worried and upset. And then you lay on top of that all this mindless nonsense about the private lives of supposedly famous people that just comes in and occupies your mind and your time. They're stealing your time and your time of reflection and prayer and contemplation away from you by just filling your life with the lives of other people. So many people in this country live their lives vicariously through other people, through sports teams and through movie stars and, quote, reality shows that are not real. Their lives are consumed with details about nonsense. And those things take on urgent dimensions. I have to watch this. I have to find out about this. I have to know what happened to so-and-so. Those things aren't important. Those things are not what's urgent. And Jesus tells Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, and you can just take that exponentially and apply it to your life. In addition to that, we live in a land of abundance where God has blessed us beyond any imaginable thing of anybody that's ever lived before this time in history. And it is a desire for those things that places a lot of urgency on people to get those things or to get more of those things. Toys, the pleasures of life, doing things, seeing things, going places. These things take on an all-consuming place in the lives of some people. And these things are becoming more and more urgent. Well, we have to do this so we can have this. We have to go here so we can see and experience this. And those things aren't urgent at all. If you think about the things that really occupy your day, how many of those things are really necessities? How many of those things are really of key importance to your life, to your future? You know, the Christian needs to step back from some of these things. Quit being so worried and upset about these things. We say we believe in the sovereignty of God, but there's precious little sovereignty involved in our worry and distress over the things that we really don't have any control over anyway. We're excited and agitated about many things in this world. But it's only the Christian who sits at the feet of Christ who can really stand before the world. Thomas Chalmers was a Scottish minister and theologian. He said, "Sometimes I'm hustled out of my spirituality." That's what the world does to us. It busies us to the point that we can't focus, that we are worried and upset. If these things aren't important, if these things aren't necessities, what things are? Well, we find that in the second part of Jesus' rebuke there to Martha, verse 42. "But only one thing is needed." Jesus says only one thing is necessary. And by the way, your sister Mary has chosen that better thing. That one thing is to hear the words of Christ. That one thing is to be instructed by Christ. That one thing is to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that's necessary. That's the one thing that you need. All these other things will pass away. This one thing is what's necessary. You know? Do you have that one thing? Do you have that better thing? Jesus said in John 5 to the Jews, and it's really not textually related to what we have here before us, but I think it's very appropriate, his words. Jesus said, "You refuse to come to me to have life." How many of the people in our world, how many of the people you know, how many of the people that you are busily doing urgent things with every day refuse to come to Christ because they're too busy, because they're too absorbed with all these worries and cares and things of the world, and they refuse to come to Christ? They're busy right now. This is their day. This is their time because they need to do this, 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 and this. And they're busy all week working, so there's no really other time to do it other than the Lord's day. So they choose the many things and they ignore the one thing. These things stand in contrast here in what Jesus says. And Jesus' little pithy saying to Martha sort of encapsulates that. Only one thing is necessary. You see the contrast there. You're worried about many things and one thing is necessary. We could say the urgent versus the important. And that important thing is knowing Christ, being instructed by Christ, spending time alone with Christ, spending time in his word. Not urgently. Well, I know I got to read my Bible every day. Let me open up here. Okay, I've done that. That's not the way. Remember what I said about the important? It is, as Eisenhower said, often not urgent. It is time for study and prayer and reflection, contemplation, being silent before the Lord and listening to his voice. That's the important thing. That's what Mary was doing, as much as it frustrated her sister. Jesus says one other thing about this. He says that good thing, the thing that's important, will not be taken away. If you truly have Christ, that will not be taken away. The good thing, the better part, peace with God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of his Holy Spirit who he sends into your heart, eternal life, a promise of a forever with him in heaven, in a bliss and joy and glory that you cannot imagine, cannot be taken away from you. The world may not regard these things as important. The world may not regard you as important. So much of this vicarious living out of our lives with sports teams and personalities and movie stars is this self-importance that we attach because we're number one and we did this and we did. None of y'all put on suits and went out there and played. You know, we didn't do anything. We watched. But it's that living of your life there to attach some importance to it. But what can be more important than that the Lord of glory loved you and died for your sins, that you could be with him forever? You're one of the most important people ever, if that's true. The world may never know your name, but Jesus said that's one thing that can't be taken away from you. If you know Christ, you know the love of God the Father. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and that will be with you through your life into the grave and to eternity beyond. That will never be taken away. Before we leave this, we should say one other thing about Martha. Martha is certainly lacking in grace here, perhaps lacking in judgment a little bit. But we see Martha later at the death of her brother, Lazarus, and she's full of grace. In fact, in John 11, she makes probably one of the finer confessions of Jesus Christ in all the Gospels. But there's a lesson for us there. We can be Christians. We can know the doctrine. We can be saved, and we can be assured of our salvation, and we can still let these worries and cares of the world cause us to lash out at those we love the most, cause us to be angry with our brothers and sisters in Christ, cause us to be angry with the Lord himself. Lord, don't you care? Do something, Lord. Tell my sister to help me. Just put your own words in there. You've all been there. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means you're being overwhelmed by the urgent and you've forgotten what's important. I want to make one disclaimer also. Usually the urgent is not important. Usually the important is not urgent. But there's a great exception to that. This one thing that Jesus says is important, stands in importance above all others. Do you know that one thing? Have you chosen that better part? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted him and him alone for salvation as he's offered in the Gospels? Do you know that to be true? That is the most important thing that you will ever do. And it's an urgent thing. Scripture says today is the day of salvation. There's an urgency to that. If you have not done that, you need to do that. You need to do it now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, deliver us from the onslaught of the world, the things that pull us this way and that. And Lord, help us. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding. Give us your wisdom, your understanding, that we might prioritize these things, put all these things in their proper perspective. And that means putting you first. And every other thing, second, third, fourth, fifth, tenth, or whatever. But Lord, help us to understand what is truly important. Lord, help us to put our time and energy into that. And Lord, if there are any here who have not chosen that best part, have not done that which is most important, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would urge upon their hearts now. the necessity of doing that and doing it now. Lord, we just we pray for them. We all know many people who are not attending to that. Lord, there are many who say, well, I'm going to do this one day. Lord, we pray that you would be at work in their hearts. Lord, that today would be the day. Lord, that when we speak to them, that we would impress upon them the urgency of taking care of that one thing that is most important. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.